The following interview is part of the American Phytopathological Society Centennial Oral History Project. In this interview, Charles Mims and Laurie Karras discuss the relationships between the disciplines of mycology and plant pathology and the involvement of mycologists in the American Phytopathological Society. Charles Mims is a professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at the University of Georgia. Dr. Mims has spent his career conducting research on plant pathogenic fungi. In particular, his work has focused on the morphological features of fungal spores and the cytological and nuclear events associated with spore germination and the process of pathogenesis. Dr. Mims teaches courses in mycology and plant pathogenic fungi, and he is the author of a widely used textbook on introductory mycology. Dr. Mims was interviewed by Dr. Laurie Karras, an associate professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at Washington State University. Dr. Karras is also involved in research and teaching on plant pathogenic fungi. Her research focuses on the biology and systematics of plant pathogenic fungi, with an emphasis on the smut fungi. This interview was recorded in Quebec City, Canada, July 2006.
So plant pathology has really grown out of mycology as a discipline. And at what point do you think that individuals really began to define themselves as plant pathologists rather than as mycologists? And why do you think this was?
Well, if you look back at the beginnings of mycology or plant pathology, I guess most people would go back to DeBerry, mm-hmm. as considered to be the father of the discipline. And of course, DeBerry looked at lots of different things, including slime molds, myxomycetes that I started to work with years ago. And mycologists were initially, I guess, because of the size of the fungi into the mushrooms and the boletes and the bracket and shelf fungi. And then when microscopes became available routinely, they got into the microscopic forms. And then with a sudden realization that these things could attack healthy plants and cause disease rather than just being saprobes, as many people believe they were, that opened up an entirely new discipline. Some of the individuals, it appears, continued to have the basic emphasis on the fungus and the activities of the fungus. The life cycle where meiosis took place has always been a big deal with mycologists. And, you know, mm-hmm. lots of people think that's trivial, but you need to understand the life cycles. But I think with the realization that the fungus impacted the plant, the emphasis slowly shifted into trying to alleviate or prevent the problems. So you had a group of individuals still very, very knowledgeable of fungi, but they moved from the more basic types of concerns to more applied. And I still think there's sort of a line between the basic type of research and the more applied type of research. And that's probably being blurred these days. But that's where I think it began, and I think most people agree it sort of evolved out of mycology.
Okay, well, so that, I guess, leads to the question, what do you think is the difference between, say, a mycologist who studies maybe plant pathogenic fungi and a plant pathologist who studies diseases caused by fungi? Do you think that there's a distinction?
Oh, absolutely. I always sort of give a disclaimer when I visit somewhere, and I've been invited by various student groups and other things, and I tell them up front, I'm a mycologist. You know, I'm not a plant pathologist, and my department's probably glad that I do that because I don't want to misrepresent plant pathology. It's frustrating even for my wife, as I was telling you earlier, when we have a problem in the yard or a plant or something, I can usually have some idea what's causing it, and if I don't, I go to the diagnostic lab and they help me. She doesn't want to know that. She wants to know, can you cure it? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do for it? And I kind of throw up my hands. And so I think that's the real difference, is the mycologist is still focusing on the fungus. Now, there's some that probably know more about fungicides and control practices, but I think that's in the realm of the practicing plant pathologist. Now, many of them are really good mycologists, but they come back to the emphasis on the interaction and the damage that's done and preventing that. So I guess that's where I would draw the line. Now, mycology is a complex discipline because you've got human pathogens. Mm-hmm. Now, those folks have always A few in, say, micro departments where medical mycology is taught, many in medical schools. That's become a very big area now with AIDS and chemotherapy and diabetes and other things. But that's still separate. Those folks quite often don't even attend the mycology meetings. Mm-hmm. You'll have a mycologist in pharmacy schools interested in research and discovery. You'll have them working in breweries, yeast, industrial mycology. And then you have the academic type mycologists, which were traditionally housed mostly in biology departments and then botany departments. So it's a complex discipline that's evolving. And unfortunately, I think many people nowadays don't refer to themselves as mycologists. They're biologists that study fungi, or they're fungal geneticists. And so I don't know that the term mycology or the term mycologist will survive. I'm a little concerned about that because I relate to that discipline.
So now it seems as though most of the mycologists in the U.S. certainly are in plant pathology departments, but that hasn't always been the case, has it?
No, I think this relates to the evolution of plant pathology. The establishment of the land-grant institutions many years ago was tremendous mm-hmm. opportunity for mycologists right. because then virtually every state then had a land-grant school. And there was a plant pathology department, and in those days you had mycology. And so that offered tremendous employment opportunities outside of traditional botany departments and micro departments. And so it became, in my opinion, a stronghold for mycology. And as I told you earlier, I'm not going to try to mention a lot of names because I'll admit someone. But if you go back and identify the premier plant pathology departments, whatever your short list is, almost all of them have a very strong history of strong mycology. And they trained not only mycologists who work with plant pathogenic fungi, but in those days there was also a lot of freedom to still do very basic research. And so a lot of the people that were trained in these departments then were hired by botany departments or even micro departments. But as you know, botany departments, there you can count on maybe one or two hands the ones that are left. They're evolving into plant biology departments mm-hmm. or something else. And there's a lot of de-emphasis on what I call the ologies, like mycology, phycology, those types of things. And people are now identifying themselves as molecular biologists who study fungi, or as I said, fungal geneticists. So, okay, it's really very exciting when you see a place advertise a position for a mycologist.
Yeah.
But I don't see that as much.
You know, one of the things, and just I was thinking about as you were talking about this explosion of knowledge and what we're expected to know now. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking about our own institution and how we've had to change our mycology curriculum, and we're not offering these advanced mycology courses, which were more of a systematics type courses, but we could go really in depth into different groups of fungi. And, you know, the emphasis of the students have changed, what they need to learn has changed. Do you think how are the students going to acquire this, and are the students that are coming out with training in mycology missing out on something because we've had to scale back perhaps the types of courses that we can teach?
Oh, I definitely think departments that teach more than one mycology type course, there are not many of those left anymore. At Georgia, at one time, there was introductory mycology, there was biology of ascomycetes, mm-hmm. there was a course on deuteromycetes, asexual mm-hmm. fungi, there was a field mycology course, there was a mushroom course, oomycete course, and with retirements and downsizing, those courses tend to fall by the wayside. and you're left with the introductory mycology, mm-hmm. And you just can't get enough information in that, and particularly for the plant pathologist who needs, they need something in it. If that's going to be their standalone mycology course, then it's very difficult to do without mm-hmm. these other courses.
What do you think has been the impact on mycology as a discipline, because most of the mycologists now are in plant pathology departments? I mean, is this maybe one of the consequences, is losing some of these courses? And
well, I think so. Initially, I mean, for years and years, it's been a tremendously positive impact for mycology. Now, I think mycology has also contributed to plant pathology. It hasn't been a one-way street. Mm-hmm. But some of the most prominent mycologists in this country, and as I said, I'll try not to name a lot of names, but I can just think of in my career presidents of the Mycological Society who I would consider, mycologists in plant pathology departments. Jack Rogers from your university, mm-hmm. E.S. Luttrell and Dick Hanlon from Georgia, Richard Corr from Cornell, Jim Kimbrough from Florida, Bob Gilbertson from Arizona. These people had a very strong influence on the development of mycology and taught many students, mm-hmm. and so it's been a tremendous impact. But as these people retire, unfortunately, I think many universities feel that it's a luxury to have a mycologist, because you've got all these crop responsibilities and budgets are impacted. So there's a great tendency to say, well, we won't hire the mycologist, we'll hire the person that's going to have a crop responsibility. And I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the problem is at the faculty level. I think the faculty realize the importance of the mycology and plant pathology. But quite often it's at the upper administrative level where it's not recognized the contributions that a mycologist is going to make.
Okay.
But mycology still has a lot to offer, because extension folks, they desperately need the training, because mm-hmm. they're on the front lines. They're the first ones to see the organisms, and they need a knowledge of fungi and the ability to identify some of them. And but we'll probably get into that later on, the future impacts.
How much do you talk about systematics in your courses, and I guess it's even broader than that. I mean, how important do you think the systematics, and now molecular systematics, is in plant pathology, and how much should students know, or what do you expect them to know? And
let me back up, and then if I don't come back to that, you focus me again. But I think one of the things that mycology contributed to plant pathology early on was the idea of the fungal life cycle, and mm-hmm. you need to know details of the life cycle. And that sort of, in my opinion, sort of emerged into the disease cycle, which was, you know, you still focus on the fungus, but then it's how it impacts with the plant. And the other area was the ability to identify and put names on organisms, so you could communicate with colleagues around the world about this, make sure you're working with the same organism. Mm-hmm. And plant pathologists have always, there's been some good-natured and sometimes maybe not good-natured ribbing about name changing, that mycologists had nothing better to do than change the names
right.
of organisms.
Right.
After everyone was comfortable with the name, the mycologist would say, well, this has been incorrectly identified, or we have more information, we have to change the name. But that's extremely important, to have the right name on the organism. It also gives you this predictive value we talked about earlier. But, you know, I know some folks, plant pathologists, that were just devastated that they could not use phycomycetes
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
And the realization that oomycetes were not true fungi, mm-hmm. it needed to be done, because they don't respond to the same chemistries, in fungicides. Their life cycles are different. And so it needed to be done. So along come molecular systematics, which I'm not into molecular systematics, but I realize that that has tremendous value, and particularly for the plant pathologist for diagnostic purposes. Mm-hmm. You need rapid, accurate procedures for identifying organisms. And traditionally, that's one of the real values that mycologists provided to departments. They were the resource you could go to identify organisms. And unfortunately, those classical type of people, they're falling by the wayside. They're not being replaced. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the very best molecular systematics folks have been the ones that had a very strong background in traditional morphology and taxonomy. And they moved the whole discipline forward. So I think systematics is going to be important. The plant pathologist sometimes don't relate to why you need to do this. But if you can develop, as a result of these techniques, these modern, rapid, accurate mechanisms for identifying organisms, would be extremely valuable to the discipline. I can remember when I was in school, it was basically microscopy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we got electron microscopes. And once again, that was basic. But if you think about so much of the things we know about how fungi get into plants, how plants respond to them, how the pathogen then overwinters. They've been worked out by very eloquent light microscopy and then transmission and scanning microscopy. There was a phase where mycorrhizae were the rave in plant pathology, hoping that you could manipulate them to reduce use of fungicides. And that's been difficult. There may still be some areas that will work in that regard. Then we fungicide resistance, which will continue to be a big problem as we lose more fungicides because of environmental concerns. Organic gardening, I think that's going to create opportunities where you can use fungi as biological control organisms or antagonists for pathogens. So I've never been a really good person at looking at the future, but I think in my crystal ball, the mycologist will be a little different. Maybe less flexibility, but still some really exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, I think some people in maybe botany departments didn't put any emphasis on applied research. If you were doing applied research, it was for some reason looked down upon. Mm-hmm. But I think that's changing now, and you have to communicate the relevance of what you're doing. You have to, taxpayers, legislators, they want accountability in university, and unfortunately many folks don't think college professors work as hard as they should. Or you know, I came from a family, they're public school teachers, and when I tell them I teach you know, one or two courses a semester, and they teach seven courses a day in some high schools, they have trouble relating to that.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what I do with the rest of my time.
Right.
And so we've got to be able to relate that to taxpayers. And plant pathology has done that, because you see these, I guess every department in a state does these impacts where they show the dollar impact of their management strategies or whatever. Mycology can't do that. So you're going to have to somehow fit into that with the plant pathologists, the people that have crop responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the future? You know, what do you see as some of the major challenges maybe that we're facing as mycologists and plant pathologists?
I always felt, really and truly, that plant pathology would always be a safe haven for mycology, mm-hmm. that it would continue to thrive in that environment. And hopefully it will, but I'm a little concerned because of the fact that we've had so many people retire. Even plant path departments are being merged with other departments, mm-hmm. and that may or may not be bad, but you lose some of your identity when that takes place. I hope the more enlightened departments will continue to hire mycologists. I think the type of mycologists that will be hired will be different than my generation. They probably will not have as much flexibility to study strictly basic mycology. They will need to be more focused on plant pathogens. They absolutely must provide activities that are needed by the department, either in terms of resources for identification, techniques for identifying organism, support to extension people. They've got to support the people who have the crop responsibilities. And so I think we'll see a little bit of change in the freedom that mycologists in plant pathology departments have had to do really basic research. Now, there's still a lot of basic research that's important. You never know where the breakthroughs are going to come from. But I think the nature of the person will change somewhat.